have Brother Bob back. Glad he's back. If you take your Bibles and open to Psalm chapter 12, if you would. When you get there, if you please stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm chapter 12. All right, Psalm chapter 12. The Bible says there in verse number 1, it says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering words, lips, and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, 'With our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?' For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this night. And God, I thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, I want to be a blessing to these folks tonight. And that is my intention, Lord. But God, I know I can't do that in and of myself. God, I know I'm the weakest of your servants, Lord. I pray that, God, you would please, God, forgive me of my sins tonight. And, God, that you would please just take this message that you've showed to me and that you've laid on my heart, God, and help it to be a blessing to folks. God, we live in a troubled world. We live in a difficult time in history, Lord. But, God, you've placed us here for a reason. You know what you're doing. And, God, we pray that you would please just help us to tune in to what your word has to say. God, we don't look to the newscast. We don't look to the, you know, different TV stations and what they're saying on the radio and the internet and whatnot on how we should behave, Lord. We look to your word. And God, we pray that tonight you would show us what you want from us. And God, please, we pray that we would be obedient. And God, we pray that we would give you our lives, everything, Lord, all that we have, so that you would be pleased and that you would be glorified in all that we do. Please, God, we need your help tonight. I pray that the folks would get something from this. And God, I do ask that you would give me the help that I need. I certainly need a lot of it, Lord. Please. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing once again. This psalm is a psalm written by David. David wrote 73 of the 150 psalms in the book of Psalms. And we know the story of David, how he was just a shepherd boy that God used in a tremendous way. When David was first introduced to Saul, the king of Israel at this time, when he wrote Psalm chapter 12, it was said about David that he was cunning, that he was valiant, that he was a mighty warrior, that he could do all these different things. But I like what they say, throwing in there the last item that they mention about David: and the Lord is with him. I like that. Listen, folks, you may have all the talent and all the skill, and everybody may look up to you, and you may have a leadership mentality about you and naturally be able to lead people. But if the Lord is not with you, you'll be a failure. And so will I. Listen, what we need, Woodlawn, is we need the Lord with us. You know what you need on your bus route? The Lord with you. You know what you need in your class every Sunday? The Lord with you. Listen, whether you got a big crowd or a little crowd, you need God's presence there on everything that we do in this place. But David, as he's living a life, and we all know the story of David. This is very early on in the history that we know about David. This is under the reign of King Saul. David looks at his nation, and it's crumbling around him. As I said, this is most likely written during the reign of Saul, and Saul started off as a good leader, a good ruler, but as time went along, it turned into a debacle. It was a circus. He was a madman. He was envious of David. He was erratic in his behavior, and he was pretty much an egomaniac. He's throwing javelins at David every chance he gets. He's trying to kill him. The maidens are singing about David, that Saul has slain thousands, and David has tens of thousands, and Saul hated that. And he had a one-man mission to wipe out David, God's anointed, to be the next king of Israel. David looks around, and it's not just his king, his ruler, that's losing his mind. He feels that his whole nation is. Look at what he says in verse number 1. "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." You know what he's saying? I look around, and I don't see as many godly people as I used to. I look around and I don't see as many faithful people as I used to. He's saying the faithful fail from among the children of men. He's saying, listen, I look around and those that used to be faithful aren't faithful anymore. Those that used to be involved, they're not involved anymore. Those that used to be busy serving God, they're gone. They're out the door. David looks around at his world and it's sinking lower and lower into sin. And, and into debauchery. And folks, you can see the parallels to our world today. The scene of our world is sinking lower and lower into sin. I know we have said these things for years, but it's definitely becoming a reality nowadays. It's sinking into sin. It's sinking into debauchery. Listen, and the thing about it, I remember a preacher saying that the sins that used to slither about down the back alleys now strut on Main Street. That's exactly how it is today. I'll say it again in case you missed that. Listen, the sins that used to slither down the back alleys and be ashamed are now proud. They strut down Main Street. Listen, and it's exalted. It's praised. It's paraded out there. And the world says you must accept that. But the Word of God says you can't. Listen, the sin of our world, it's going downhill. And they're proud about what they do. They're not ashamed. It's exalted. It's celebrated. It's applauded. Listen, and the reaction for us is it should be sickening to us. It should be repulsive. But perhaps it's also scary for people, thinking, what's next? How am I supposed to raise a family nowadays? How am I supposed to live a life that pleases God with all this foolishness going on around us? God, how in the world do you expect me to do this? Should be sickening to us. And my whole thought pattern with this message is this, because I know I've dealt with this. Listen, folks, we are not oblivious to the things that go on around us. We shouldn't be focused on them, but we should be aware of them. This is my thought for Woodlawn. Have some of you been shaken in your aggressiveness, in your assurance about the things of the Lord? Listen, maybe your confidence has taken a hit. Maybe your boldness is gone. Maybe your joy and your strength. Listen, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Maybe those things have started to wane. Maybe not in a public way. Maybe not in a very overt way, but perhaps subtly. If you're shaking in here tonight, listen, this is the state that David found himself in with his nation going downhill and his nation crumbling and falling apart all around him. And we start thinking, what are we to do? God, I'm shaking in my aggressiveness. God, I don't know if I can give out those tracts like I once did. And I don't know if I can be so open about living for you like I once did. And God, look at how our world is going. Our country is going. What are we supposed to do? Some people have maybe shaken from their action. Maybe they're slacking and starting to hesitate now. Listen, the psalmist finds himself in a very similar state here. Yet his reaction to his problems of that day is something that we should emulate. Everything's swirling around him. Let me read verse 1 and then verse 8. You kind of get the bookends of this whole chapter and what's going on here. Verse number 1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Skip down to the last verse of the chapter, verse number 8. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. It's everywhere. It's swirling around him. And David's saying, my head's spinning. I don't even know what's going on anymore. How did we get here? But I like how he starts out the chapter. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. He's saying, God, you've got to do something. God, I can't lean on all the other people that I used to lean on. I can't put my trust in them. I can't put my strength in them. I can't rely on them. I can't depend on them like I used to because they're not around anymore. But God, even more, I need some help from you. Listen, in 2015, you know what you need? You need to say to the Lord, help, Lord, the godly man ceaseth. God, I need your help. We need to cry out for God's help because the godly man is ceasing nowadays. I want you to see in this chapter, first thing is just the plea. Number one, the plea. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. First thing in verse number 1, he says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. First thing about this, the devoted are ceasing. When it says ceasing there, it means they're coming to an end. Listen, my perspective is, it seems like there's less and less people standing for God than there used to be. Seems like there's fewer and fewer. It seems like our numbers are diminishing as far as people that are really, and when I say godly, I'm talking about you take a stand for God. You put yourself out there. You're not ashamed of it. Listen, we need more people that are godly. You walk with God every day. It's not just a public thing. You're not showing off. But there's a private time with the Lord where you're meeting with Him every day and you're communing with your Savior every day. And then you live a life that's not ashamed in front of this world. That's what I'm talking about. We need some people like that. But those numbers are diminishing. The devoted are ceasing. They're diminishing. They're dwindling. They're disappearing. That's what David said. He's saying, where's all the people that used to stand for God? Where they're at? Disappearing. They're dying off. Hey, Woodlong, where's the next Brother Kelso that'll pray for people? Where's the next Ron Fenwick that'll care for souls and go out there and do something about it? Listen, I'm all for prayer and I'm all for getting excited and getting pumped up in church, but what are you going to do with it? Folks, that's what it's all about. We've got to do something about it so God can bless the prayers. Listen, Woodlong, where's the next person that'll take a bus route and say, I'm not just going to do it for Shank, or I'm not just going to do it for Pastor. I'm going to do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to give it all that I got. Listen, he gives this plea. He's saying the devoted are ceasing. They're passing off the scene. How about others? Maybe they've departed from the faith. They've compromised. They've given in. They've caved into the pressure. They've dropped their standards of music and of dress and of different things. They've stepped away from what the Bible says. Listen, that's a shameful thing. It's a shameful thing. Listen, you may not be a pastor or in charge of a church, but make sure in your own life that you keep the standard high. By the way, that's what your children see the most. Listen, they see how you live, not just what the pastor says up here. Well, yeah, that's what the church believes. What do you believe? That'll impact them much more than what's just said from this place. Listen, but if you have both in line with each other, that'll make a huge impact on them. The devoted are ceasing. He continues on with the verse. He says, the faithful fail from among the children of men. Not only are the devoted ceasing, but we're devoid of consistency. He's saying there's a lack of faithfulness, dependability, reliability. Folks, let's be a people that we can rely on, depend on. The people that'll be here week in and week out doing what they should be doing for the Lord. David's saying, in my day and age, people quitting and slacking off and diminishing what they do for the Lord all the time. And it bothers him. It should bother us. Listen, by the way, I meant to mention this one of the last times I preached here in church, but listen, it takes no talent to be faithful. It takes no talent to be faithful. You don't have to preach well, sing well, be a leader. You don't have to be able to get up in front of a crowd and tell a great speech. Listen, you don't need any of that to be faithful. You know what you need to be faithful? Be reliable. Week in, week out, all the time. Be in your place, doing what you need to do. That's what you need to be faithful. You don't need a Bible college degree to be faithful. You don't need a position to be faithful. Hello? You don't need somebody to give you a title in the church and to give you a class or a book. By the way, if you can't be faithful with a small job, you'll never be faithful with a big job. That's what Jesus said. Luke chapter 16. Listen, he's saying the devoted are passing off the scene. We're devoid of consistency. He looks at his nation of Israel, and he's saying, where are the faithful people? Reminds me of Proverbs chapter 20. It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Isn't that true? Everybody wants to talk about how good they are at something, even if they're not that good at it. You know, man, I remember I used to be the best in whatever it was. And you talk to some other people, and they're like, he wasn't the best, you know. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but the last part of the verse, but a faithful man, who can find? You know what it's saying? Where are they? It's very rare. It's very precious. It's hard to find is what he's saying. By the way, 1 Corinthians says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Listen, if God's given you whatever ministry or whatever responsibility in your life, that may be family, that may be job, that may be church, that may be ministry, whatever it may be, it's required of you. God has given that to you. You didn't earn it yourself. God has bestowed that on you. He's given you that responsibility. What is required of you? Be faithful. David looks around at his nation. He's saying, listen, the godly man ceases. I don't see people walking with God like they used to. I don't see people falling on their face before God saying, God, you got to bless my family. You got to bless my bus route. God, I need you. Saying, I don't see that like I used to. That's why he's saying, help, Lord. We need some help. I don't see it like I used to. Then he says, we're devoid of consistency. The faithful fail from among the children of men. By the way, the children of men is talking about the world. They see that. They see when you used to talk about Jesus all the time and then, hey, man, I haven't seen you going to that church for a while. Well, yeah, you know how it is. No, they don't know how it is. The devoted are ceasing. We're devoid of consistency. And that's why he gives a directed cry. He says, help, Lord. God, you've got to help us. You know what he's saying when he says help? He's saying deliver, save. You've got to do something. You've got to break through here, God. You got to intervene in this situation. God, if things continue on as they are, we're in trouble. Listen, folks, and I'm not just talking about a church context. I'm talking about our world, our nation. It's in trouble. And by the way, I like this one. He says, help, Lord. He doesn't say help politician. He doesn't say help preacher. He doesn't say help big name. He doesn't say help media. He says, help, Lord. I need your help. Listen, because I think, and this is my opinion, some people may not agree, but who cares, all right? But I think we are fooling ourselves if we put our trust in some politician to save the world. It ain't going to happen, folks. In fact, there's a politician that's going to act like he saves the world. His name is the Antichrist. So we better be careful about that. Listen, we need to vote right, and I'm all for all that. But listen, your trust needs to be in the Lord, no man. No man. He says, help, Lord, directed cry. He's desperate here. He's saying, Lord, you're the only one that can do anything about this problem. No one else I turn to can do anything about it. Listen, these horrors that are around David's life, they concern him. Listen, folks, when we see how celebrated it is in our world, how applauded, how ESPN gives a trophy, a medal to a guy that thinks he's a girl, and we lift him up saying, what courage, what wickedness. Listen, that man or whatever he is needs Jesus. He needs to be saved by the grace of God. And Jesus died for him just as much as anybody else. But that is wickedness. And we look around today and we go, well, I don't know. I don't know. Well, you better know. You better know. Listen, I'm not saying we got to be arrogant and obnoxious and all this, but I'm tired of Christian people with I'm not sure. The Bible tells us the answers. Get in there and find out what it says. Sooner or later, I'm going to preach in my class when Eve came to, I'm messing up my words tonight, when Satan came to Eve and say, yea, hath God said. You know what? Eve didn't know. The devil's trying to get her to doubt and to question God. And you know what? She knew a little bit of it, but she didn't know the whole story. And she got conned. She got played by the devil. Listen, you know what? Teenager, adult, church member, the devil's coming to you and he's questioning God's word too. You know what? You better find out. You better know what it says. Listen, young person, when the devil comes to you and tempts you about your purity and tempts you about drugs and tempts you about these things, you better know the answer. Listen, it's been thrown at you every Sunday for years. It's time you latch onto it and start living it in your life. The plea, David's saying, help, Lord. Need your help. I got a directed cry. These horrors around me, they concern me. Listen, I look at something like that that's going on in the media. That concerns me. That concerns me when that's lifted up and that's exalted and that's praised and that's pushed in our face. That concerns me. And when they tell our young people, oh, you can do that. You should do that. There's a lot of people doing that. It's brainwashing them. By the way, on our bus routes and our classes, in a nice, kind, godly way, we need to tell these kids there's no such thing as a woman that's trapped in a man's body and vice versa. Listen, there's no such thing as that. God made you the way you are for a reason. Crazy. The concerning horrors. Listen, he says in verse 8, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. He's saying it's everywhere. It's all around me. Mom was telling me, she saw some commercial or ad or something about a gay pastor. They're going to have some reality show. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. Listen, and I'm not, my sermon title is not, you know, bang the homosexuals. Okay, it's not, that's not it. But that this needs to be dealt with. Because it's in our face all the time. Listen, as I said, Jesus died for every one of them. All right? What the Bible says, if someone practices that lifestyle, it's a habitual practice of their life, they're characterized by it, they are not going to heaven. That's not me. That is not me. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. Check it out. What, know you not? No, I can't even quote it. Let me not go there. I'm too tired, man. My brain is not working. All right? But it's in there. You can check it out. The Bible can quote it better than me, all right? Listen, the plea, he's saying, help, Lord. The concerning horrors, the cry for help, the consideration of humility. You know why he's crying out to God? Because he realizes he can't do anything about it without God's help. Number one, the plea. Number two, the perverseness. Verses 2 through 4, check this out. It says, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? The perverseness. This is what we face. This is what David faced back in his day. First thing about it, the popularity of it. Verse number 2. What's going on? What do they talk about? What's the content of what they say? Verse number 2. They speak vanity. You know what it means? Emptiness, worthlessness, nonsense. Everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, with a double heart do they speak. It's vanity. It's nonsense. It's flattering. It's setting people up, being smooth with them, being slick with them, telling people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. By the way, we need to do it in love. And it says, with a double heart. You know what that is? They're hypocrites. They'll say one thing to your face. As soon as you walk out of the room, they'll say the exact opposite about you. Listen, folks, we don't need to be like that. You say, well, that's the world, Tom. Yeah, but it infiltrates the church from time to time. This is what's popular. This is what's out there. Also, check out verse number 4. It says, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? The pride, the proud people, and the arrogance and the pride that they portray with what they say. That last phrase, who is Lord over us? I can say what I want to say. My mouth is my own. I can say the words that I want to say. Listen, you do anything out in the world for very long, you see this. You hear this. People don't care. The most vile, filthy, nasty cuss words and language comes out of people's mouths. They don't care. It's just how it is. And listen, they think that by pushing this agenda at us, with our tongue we will prevail. We're just going to keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it until you give in. They're going to conquer. That's what they think. They deny their creator. Listen, they're not thankful to God for what he's given to them. They're not respectful to him in any way. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? God, I don't care what you want me to say. I'm going to say what I want to say. They deny their creator. They think they're in ultimate control. They say what they please. And they challenge him with defiance. They say, who is Lord over us? It reminds me of Pharaoh when he says, who is the Lord that I should obey him? He was about to find out. After 10 times and then all his army getting killed in the Red Sea, I think Pharaoh knew. But you know what? People may not be stupid enough to say that verbally, but we act like that. And that's not just out there. That's in here. By the way, this is a real side note, and I'll just touch this and get off to something else. But listen, your dealings with people in the church and outside the church, Christians, we should be nice and kind to people. Amen. Why is that so foreign? Why is that so unheard of? Listen, some of the nastiest people and nastiest dealings I've had is with Christian people. That's a sorry testimony. I'm not trying to rant and rave and slap everybody silly in here today. I'm not. But listen, we need to be nice and kind to people. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Listen, when you didn't deserve a chance with God, he was kind to you. He was kind to me. How dare we look down our nose at somebody? How dare you do that? Folks, we need to be nice with each other, kind with each other. I'm pretty sure it's still in the Bible. It hadn't fallen out yet, right? When he said, they're going to know that you're Christians by the way you love each other. That needs to be our testimony. Listen, the popularity of things, the pride that they portray. Listen, they don't care. They're not about pleasing God with what they say. By the way, for us, we should realize that God gave everything to us. And without him, we have nothing. And everything that we say, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Whether you eat, drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Listen, folks, I remember talking about, then we ought to every day say, God, with what I say, with what I do, God, I dedicate it to you. And God, if it's wrong, God, convict me of that so I can get it right, get it confessed. And listen, that's what's promoted nowadays, folks. Verse number 8, we've already dealt with it. But the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. We're here. It's here. The vilest men are exalted. I'm not going to preach out of this passage, but check this out. 2 Timothy. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Brother Kenny says that perilous times, it means demonic times. For men shall be lovers of their own self, selfish. Covetous means greedy. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. How about that one? Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You ever get hated on because you're doing what's right? Bible says that's what's coming in the last days. We're here, folks. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's idolatry. Oh, I can't come to church. Got to go to the beach. Okay. I can't come to church. You got to go to Six Flags. Oh, okay. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Last time I checked, you got 6 other days during the week you can do that stuff. It's not illegal yet, okay? I don't know what the next law is coming out, but it may be that. All right, we're not sure. Verse number 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. But get this one. We're back in Psalm number 12. Get this one, the pronouncement. Verse number 3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Listen, he's merciful. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Why hadn't God smacked them down yet? He's giving them a chance to get saved. And listen, if they shake their fist at God and they never turn to him, sadly there will come a day when they'll face judgment for all of that. So, folks, you know what? It's not our job to worry about it. It's our job to live for the Lord and put him first, and God will take care of all that. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. Listen, we talked about the plea, the perverseness. Number 3, the protection. Verse number 5, the protection. Verse number 3, or point number 3. I'm all over the place. Verse number 5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The protection. Listen, he says, the atrocities are all around for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. He's saying these people are going through it. They're suffering. They're dealing with difficulty. God sees the atrocities, and he's attentive to their call. I find it interesting here. It says, for the sighing of the needy. These people can't even get out of prayer. They're sighing. They're groaning on the inside. Ugh. Can't even express it to God. But God's attentive to the groaning. Says the Holy Spirit takes our prayers to God with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans chapter 8. Listen, there's sometimes we can't even express it, the worry, the fear, the panic that's inside of us, but we just, ugh, God, help. God knows what that means. And check out this verse. This is a great verse. Verse number 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, God says this, now will I arise, saith the Lord. Listen, when God gets up, he'll take care of business. Don't worry about that. He'll arise and he'll act. Listen, and he says it's because for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. That's the reason that he gets up and takes care of business, because he cares about the cries of his people and those that are afflicted. And he'll avenge them. He says, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. I'll set him in safety. I'll give him that safe place. I'll give him that shelter. I'll avenge him. from the guy that puffeth at him. He's menacing, he's intimidating, he's threatening. He has an intention to do evil and to cause harm. He's going to huff and puff and blow his house down. All right? That's what I think of, all right? David says, help, Lord. The godly man ceases. There's a plea. He's saying, Lord, you got to help. The godly man is ceasing. The faithful are failing before the children of men. The perverseness is all around us. They speak vanity and flattery and with a double heart. And God, they're so proud and arrogant what they say. They say, who is Lord over us? God, what am I supposed to do? God says, I'll protect you. I see the atrocities going on. I'm attentive to your groanings. I'll arise and I'll act and I'll avenge you. I'll take care of you. I'll set you in safety. Last thing, number four, the preservation. So we had the plea. We had the perverseness. We had the protection. Verses 6 and 7, the preservation. Number four. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. You say, Tom, why are those verses thrown in there? I mean, he's talking about the trouble he's facing, and he's talking about, God, you got to help me. My nation is falling apart. And then it says, the words of the Lord are pure. That doesn't even seem to fit. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Because you know what, folks? That's what's going to keep us strong. That's what's going to keep us steadfast. That's what's going to keep us unmovable. That's what's going to keep us always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what's going to keep us grounded when all our world's going crazy. That's what's going to hold us tightly to Him. And that's what you need to hold on to. Listen, get off the MSNBC and get off the Fox News and get off the CNN and get off all that stuff that's causing your heart to be disturbed. And get in the Bible and find out, you know what? God's got it under control. And He always will. Preservation. By the way, we have the Word of God with us right now. I don't know if they do in the Christian bookstore, but we got it with us. The preservation. He says the words of the Lord are pure words. You know what it's saying here? Every word of God you can count on. Every word of God you can count on. You don't have to worry about waking up tomorrow and finding out the Bible's false, the Bible's a myth. This just in, the Bible is a bunch of fables. We don't have to worry about that. You know why? Because every word of God is pure. I'm glad about that. I'm glad I can wake up tomorrow morning and get in the Word of God, and I can count on what it says. I don't have to worry about it getting flimsy on me and falling apart. It's pure. It's sure. And listen, that verse before when he's saying that he's going to take care of the needy and the oppressed, you know what? That's a promise. That's a promise. So when you skip down to the next verse and it says the words of the Lord are pure, you know what? They're going to happen. His promise is going to come true. Words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. God says, I tested every word that went into the canon of Scripture, and I tested it out seven times with fire. I took it through a process to where it was the exact word that I wanted in my Word of God. You can count on it. You can count on it. Listen, I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care the next atrocity that takes place in our world. I don't care the next wickedness that's exalted. I don't care the next rapper or celebrity that comes out of the closet. I don't care what goes on. Listen, you can count on the Word of God. Let's do it. Let's do it. We can preach it and say, oh, yes, you can count on it, but how much do we depend on it throughout the week? Every word of God you can count on. And then verse number 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Forever. Listen, not only every word you can count on, it ever will continue. It's never going to pass away. It's permanent. It'll stand. It'll stand. Listen, the attacks can come its way. People have tried to destroy it. They've tried to wipe out the Bible off the face of the earth. Listen, the Bible will stand. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I like this verse. It says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. All right, so Tom, how do I make it? How do I make it in this society where everything's falling apart, where things are disturbing, they're concerning, they bother me, they get to me. How do I keep living for God? Folks, you got to cry out to God. You got to plead with Him. You got to say, help, Lord, help us. God, I can't do this alone. God, that class is too hard for me without you. That bus is too hard for me without you. Those doors I knock on, they're too hard for me without you. God, I can't face those people on the job without you. Can't raise my family without you. God, I can't be a testimony to those around me without you. Help, Lord. He pleads with him. He's saying, God, there's perverseness all around. They speak vanity and flattery and a double heart. God, you see this. But God, you'll protect me. And God, you'll preserve your word. So what must we do, folks? Plant yourself on the word of God. Do you read it every day? Do you think about it every day? Do you let it soak in every day? Let it control your thoughts. Let it dominate what you think about. You would be astounded at how encouraged you would be if you had a verse that you just contemplated and meditated on throughout the day. I guarantee you. Sound like the, what is that, Joseph A. Bank guy now. That's all right, though. Plant yourself on it and practice it. Listen, are you devoid of energy? Do you feel weak as a Christian? Do you feel like you don't have the strength and the might that you need? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Job said, I've esteemed it more than my necessary food. It's more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. You're devoid of energy. Get in the word of God. Listen, are you defeated by the enemy? You feel like the devil's just pushing you back and pushing you back and pushing you back? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If you're getting pushed back, get in the Bible. It'll give you the strength that you need, the faith, the energy that you need to live for God. By the way, I remember, Jeff, you making this connection one time when you were speaking. Listen, you're not going to please God without faith. So how, the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. Okay? So how are you going to please God if you are not in the Bible where faith comes from? It's not going to happen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So you better be in it. You better be letting it guide you. And, you know, listen, folks, the whole purpose for the whole thing, learning the Bible, memorizing the Bible, meditating on it, it's not just so we can get a big head and say, yes, I know all the facts and figures of the Bible. How about you? It's not about that. You know why we do it? You know why we do all this? We have the Christian school, and we have all these things in the church, and the King's Kids, and all these different things where the kids learn the Bible. And by the way, Bible memorization shouldn't just be for the kids. We all need it. But the whole point of every part of it is that you know Him better, and so that you can depend on Him more because of what you learned out of this book. We don't just, listen, it's not just for Bible trivia, Tut. Yeah. Noah's beard. 18 and a half inches. Yes! You know, it's not about that. Can I spin the wheel again? You know, it's not about that. What's my prize, Vanna? You know, it's not about that. I know I'm going back in time. All right. We just went back in time. All right. Listen, it's not about that. It's not about that. It's not about you getting all the facts and figures. It's so that you know God better. So that you can trust Him more. Listen, we do it with soul winning all the time. How do we expect a lost and dying world to trust Jesus as their Savior if they don't know about Him? Right. How should they hear without a preacher, right? Right. Listen to the Bible. But how about in our Christian context? How do you know that God's going to provide your finances and provide all your needs and that you need to tithe and that you need to be a soul winner and that you need to, if you don't know about it? There's no way you can trust God in those areas if you're unaware of those areas. That's what I'm trying to say. Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them, for they are they which testify of me. Listen, when you get closer to the word of God, you're getting closer to Him. And that's what it's all about. As I mentioned a moment ago, why is this section even in here about the word of God? Because this is how we hold firm, we remain steadfast, and ultimately, we stand for God when it seems like the godly man is ceasing. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Plead to God. We see the perverseness around us, but God will protect us.
and he'll preserve his word. You get close to it. You hold it tightly to you, and you practice it in your life. And listen, God will get us through this. Listen, either by, as Pastor says, either by sending revival or the rapture. One way or another, the Lord is going to triumph over this. Listen, let's not be defeated. Our whole youth conference was about in it to the end. Don't quit. Don't quit. Stay in it to the finish line. It would be a rotten shame for us to quit and the finish line's right around the corner. I don't want that for my life. Stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. Listen, the fight is not yours anyway. It's his. Listen, you got to depend on him and depend on his word. Listen, some of us need to say, Lord, you got to help because the godly man ceases. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you again for this night. God, thank you for your word. God, you're an amazing God, and God, you love us. And God, you're so good to us all the time. But God, we face scary times, troubling times. Lord, it bothers us. It shakes us on the inside. God, I pray you would help some Christians, Lord, tonight, that we would get anchored in and that we would get steadfast and that we would plant ourselves deeply in your word, Lord, so that we know where we stand. And God, we don't know what's coming next around the corner. Who knows, God? The pastor's already talking about people getting locked up for preaching against sodomy and all this, Lord. God, it can get a lot worse. We don't want it to, God. But Lord, help us to stand strong. Lord, God, we need your help. We need your help. Seems like the godly man is ceasing. We need your help, God. We pray that you would bless this night and bless this quick invitation that we have. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's stand to our feet. If in any way God spoke to your heart and encouraged you and gave you something you need tonight, why don't you come and do business with him? God, I want to hold firm. God, I want to stand strong. I don't want to quit.